Cash Money, Joe Burrow.
Live from the Bench Clear Media Studios on the fly with, well, we're actually in two completely different parts of the country, but that's,
yeah, that's right.
The wonders right. of technology.
StreamYard Studios.
That's right.
Rub it in. Tell me how bad the Chiefs were. Mahomes took a dump on himself in the second half.
I think it was 21-3, right?
Gosh.
And I was getting texts from people like, oh, the Chiefs are looking great. Great. And I turned on the game when I got home from the ranch, and it was like, really? It was 21-21 when I got home, and I hadn't listened to it or anything. Julie and I were talking on the way home, and wow, like, okay. And then overtime again, of course, the Chiefs win the toss again, right?
Yeah, it was almost predictable. You're like, oh, here we go again. The funny thing,
the crowd after the Chiefs won the toss,
like, it's like they won the game.
Yes,
yeah, I know.
It's over. Oh, yeah. It's over.
Yeah, that was hilarious. It was, talk about just taking your foot off the gas and just becoming like almost so cocky that you'd had the game in hand. It was disgusting to me as a Chiefs fan. It's like, and Mahomes was terrible in the second half. I mean, just one of the worst halves of football I've ever seen him play. That last drive where the end of the second half, the end of the first half where they didn't score. It was almost like Andy Reid was being so greedy, like just a really salt on the wound. And a field goal would have been just as devastating. You knew something was going to shift in the second half.
It did.
Yeah. Oh, well. Oh, well. It's what it is. I have more Burrow rookie cards anyway. So I was kind of like, you know, it's bittersweet.
Yeah. I like seeing different teams get in.
Yeah.
You know, I like seeing the diversity. It's weird the Rams are going to be playing at home.
Second in a row, right?
How cool if it was Rams Chargers.
Oh man, that'd be cool. Yeah.
And you get to see Herbert play again anyway. That'd be all right.
We get one of the two from that class.
Yeah. It's been a good playoffs. I mean, I like the
for sure.
The differences of it. It'll be, you know, one playoff exit led to a super big news retirement. Some guy named Tom Brady. I don't know. Is he any good?
Is that even official? I don't think it's official yet.
Well, I mean, that's the rumor. I guess the rumor. Maybe
the rumor. But he makes what, another $50 million or whatever if he waits a week?
Is that really true? I couldn't remember the.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't read into the clause. I saw, and I was talking to some people at the restaurant yesterday about it, and they were telling me that's legit. I mean, I should look into it.
We should probably research before we actually talk about things on our show so we don't look like we're talking out of our butts.
Well, yeah, someone in the comments, tell us if it's actually true so we don't have to do research ourselves. How about that?
Oh, come on. It's not our
Yeah, money. But I mean, what do you think Brady's retirement does to his card values?
Probably makes them go up.
Think so?
Yeah, why? Probably not a lot, though.
Yeah.
Retirements typically don't have the kind of effect on cards in any sport, really. But he is the GOAT. Yeah. I mean, there's no other.
Yeah.
You can't throw that term around loosely, but you can use it appropriately with him.
Yeah, I think you can too.
So
yeah, I think the velocity of like sales for Brady probably drops a little bit, but I don't think value drops at all, especially for his rookie stuff.
Yeah,
you know, like. His mosaic 2021 silver is not going to be like super sought after, but rookies aren't.
That is true.
Do anything but going up. Well, we have a good topic today.
We do.
Something I think is fitting for you. We're talking about shrinkage.
Don't you know about shrinkage?
Hobby shrinkage, guys. Get your mind out of the gutter. We're going to talk.
Couldn't you at least tell her about the shrinkage factor?
No, I'm not going to tell her about your shrinkage. Besides, I think women know about shrinkage.
How do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
There's a lot of consolidation going on. Let's just start with that. There's a news about the Star Stock kind of pulling out and saying, hey, we're not taking any raw cards anymore. We've seen, you know, some buyouts happen. There's a lot of, I think we said this offline, the better word is probably consolidation. Is this kind of, I think we expected it, but is this type of consolidation happening for the right reasons? Let's start there.
Okay. I think that anytime you see the massive upheaval, the popularity, the, you know, just the excitement around something, people come up with new ideas on how to take advantage of that and be a, and be a player in that arena with whatever, hey, I know how to do this. Let's, how do I apply that to sports cards? And they come up with an idea.
Yeah.
And then it either gets absorbed into another idea, i.e. merger, or falls, you know, dies on the vine, which happens a lot. Yep. And then I just think you see the hobby evolves and the hobby innovates and then the hobby moves on. Why do you think it's happening? Just natural processes, natural.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think last year, 2 years ago, when all the talk was about the need for more platforms, the need for more technologies, which I don't think was a false statement. I think it was very true. There was a lot of need at the time. I think it was all based on this idea that cards never stop going up and that people want to go look at charts going up and figure out how to like add their technical analysis to it because that, you know, it just makes perfect sense, right? Well, I want to track my portfolio now. But when cards go down, when the market doesn't do what you think it's going to do, people lose the need for it and they lose interest in it. Like, honestly, how many tools do you really need as a collector or as an investor, you know, a sports card investor? How many tools do you need?
Let's talk about that.
What do you use? I think that's a great point.
And if you think as a collector, you know, you're thinking, okay, I want to do a few things. I want to track what I have, maybe check in on what the value of that is occasionally and be able to look stuff up to buy.
Sure.
That's pretty much it, honestly. And you can do that. I happen to use VCP because I'm more in the vintage realm. I don't use Market Movers or
Card Hedge or
any of those things.
Yep.
Because they don't have as many cards as I want. But VCP does a really good job of it. And I like seeing how, you know, like stuff higher or lower. Not that I'm looking to sell it, just curiosity more than anything. I track my collection there also. It allows me to kind of put my cards in. I can see what I have and take stuff off if I don't sell. But you know what I mean? If you get rid of something, dupe it up or whatever. And then I track it on a spreadsheet, which is so old school. But the reason I use it is because it's incredibly effective.
Yeah.
It's shockingly effective to just use a spreadsheet.
Yep.
VCP even allows you to download your data into a spreadsheet. So even better,
right.
You can take it and manipulate it however you want and see the things you want to see and do all that. Then you have, what else did I say? eBay is just fine. Now eBay's changing. We had a video about this, right? I mean, eBay may not be the, you know, choice, the platform of choice to buy cards on. I don't know what becomes it. It's not going to be my slabs. They have a niche. They have a place, you know. COMC has a place. I don't think they're going anywhere. But it's going to be harder to buy cards. I mean, I think people are going to sour on buying cards on eBay more.
Well, I would disagree with that. I don't think that was my takeaway from the authentication stuff. I still think eBay will be the de facto standard, the marketplace for sports cards. I don't think that's changing. But yeah, you and I both agree, like as a seller, there was not a lot of good news, at least from the authentication stuff.
Well, that's the whole point. If sellers aren't putting cards on there, how can I? I'd love to continue to buy cards on eBay.
Yeah.
But the reality is I don't want to buy a card that has to go to this other place and then finally get to me at some point.
Sure.
Yeah. In the future. That doesn't sound exciting.
Right.
So anything over, you know, once they get to the 250 threshold.
Yep. Yeah. No, we'll leave that for another discussion. Yeah. To your point, I mean, I think about what I use and, you know, I sell lots of cards and I collect lots of cards and I'm kind of with you where it's, for vintage stuff, I'll use VCP kind of sporadically, but I still am just as effective using eBay and a spreadsheet than I was trying to integrate another platform tool. And I don't need a tool or chart to tell me that the card's going down. Like I just want to look at a couple last sales and understand kind of my comps and I kind of roll with that. You and I have both been in the industry a long time. We know generally where card values are, so it's a little easier for us, but I think about my day in the life of collecting and dealing cards and it's not that complicated. So I think about that in terms of like, what other platforms do you need? I can see why there's consolidation taking place, especially when you have a lack of focus. Like the fact that StarStock came out and said, hey, the entire premise of why we reformed was to take raw cards, pre-grade them using our internal IP, put them on our marketplace, allow you to trade them. That's all going away. We're going to now focus on live auctions and graded cards, and we're going to do some breaks. Like, okay, well, maybe you should focus on something and be like the leader in that instead of like not letting the wind take you where it wants to. That I don't think that works in this type of space now. You have to be laser focused and be the player in that area, that sector.
And I think you had so many things pile in to these things, these different areas of the hobby, whether it's pricing or breaking or whatever, that are selling, that it gets so diluted. I said this from the beginning, there's not enough hobby dollars to sustain all of this.
Right.
There might be today, but long-term, how can this all be sustainable? Especially if you're charging a annual subscription fee for something. By the way, subscribe to Bent. No, I'm just kidding. We don't have a,
yeah.
We
don't have a
yeah. No. But how could it be sustainable? I just kept wondering, this can't continue like this. It's impossible. And we're seeing that. Like, I would imagine people are having to make choices now about, okay, I might have less hobby dollars. There's less margins in certain things. So what do I cut? And think about your household, right? When you kind of go into budget crunch or there's inflation. Oh, there's inflation, by the way. I have less disposal. My money has to go to fewer things because things are more expensive. Then you have to, what do I cut? I got to cut something. And you start lopping off those things that you go, you know, I really don't use that like I thought I was going to. I thought it was cool. Great idea. But I'm not using it so much. But you're right. I love what you just said, how my hobby life. And I think most of us, if we were honest and thought about it, pretty simple. Need eBay, some type of organizational tool, probably. And we both have I have a massive collection. You have a massive collection / inventory. Most people are probably even simpler than us.
Yeah.
In their hobby life. Their collections are a few hundred cards or a few thousand cards or even 10,000 cards. That's not hard to keep track of, really, if you think about it.
Yeah. So no, you're exactly right. Yeah. I mean, look, that's a good spot to ask a question to you watching. Like what tools do you use? What are the things that you cannot live without? Maybe things that have been around for years that you've used or something that's popped up in the last year or two that you're like, this has changed the way I collect. I'd be genuinely curious to know which ones
Do you remember like as things innovate and new ideas come out and better ways of doing things? That's in most industries, every industry, really. There's a reason we don't use Kodak cameras anymore, right?
Yeah.
We all now have them on our phones. Well, Beckett, you know, used to be the go-to pricing tool. You would go to Beckett.
Yeah.
And at the very beginning, obviously the magazine once a month, then they had online pricing and it was changing however often it was, a week, once a week, whatever. I don't know how often they did it. I called Dr. Beckett and asked him, I don't know. Now you got 15 minute pricing happening. Most of the pricing tools now are, you know, they're refreshing every 15 minutes kind of thing. Sure. So it's gotten a lot faster and we don't do things like we did in the old days. It's gotten better. That's better, by the way. I'm not saying worse. It's just who uses Beckett anymore? I'd love to hear that. If anybody actually uses Beckett other than maybe for a checklist of some kind, but it's gone. It's really kind of been gone the way of the dinosaur. Still exists, right? But is it really being used? I don't know. I'd love to hear it. People might use it.
Yeah. And the reason why Beckett became almost non-existent or I guess not really usable or relevant was because of the emergence of the eBay marketplace.
Yeah.
Where you had just millions of cards being sold and you had something that was realistic to what people were willing to pay.
Yeah. A decade ago, I was still buying cards on Beckett Marketplace.
Yeah.
Maybe a little longer, maybe 12 years ago, but it was a source. It was a platform that I used along with eBay and other things.
Right.
But, I looked at my deal the other day. I've been on eBay since 1998.
That's awesome. Long time.
I looked at my profile. I'm like, holy crap.
That's only 24 years.
I know.
Yeah, longer than most of the collectors that we speak with have been alive.
Right.
So let me ask you this, Mike. I mean, is there a gap in your process with collecting and researching and monitoring where you feel like it needs to be solved for? You have those moments you're like, man, I wish I could do this more efficiently. Is there anything in there that you were waiting for?
I will tell you, yes, nobody's come up with it yet. I'd love an aggregate slab system, an aggregate like registry type system.
Okay.
Where I could go put, if I had an SGC slab or a BGS or PSA or whoever,
yeah,
put it all on one place. And I would love to see, if someone could figure out how to do consolidated pop reports, that would be kind of cool too.
Okay. That's a great idea.
Like if you saw how many gem mints of XYZ card or the mint version, and there is some, they're not all grading scales are the same among the different grading companies, but
yeah.
you could go, this is a gem mint card. This is a mint card, near mint. Yeah. Right. You could figure that out relatively easily. Yeah. And in fact, I've done it. I've actually done it on a few cards, just kind of playing around. Like how hard is this data to go get? And the reality is if you had the right query mechanism, which I do not.
Yeah. You could do it.
You could do it. And I'd love to, I think that would just be a valuable tool to people.
I do too.
But that's, but I'm not like going, oh man, I'm losing sleep over it. It's just.
Right. Again, that's a nice to have. It's not a need to have.
Right.
Yeah.
Because I don't really care about pop reports. I just think the hobby does, you know? And so it'd be more of a curiosity for me, but I could see how it could be used in the hobby as a valuable tool. I'd love to see the registry for sure. That would be valuable to me, Mike Moynihan. I would value that.
Yeah. Mine's going to be along the same lines, actually. I think a site that consolidates pop reports in and of itself, you know, would be insanely helpful for a lot of guys that go kind of all in on players and kind of like build strategies. I think it'd be really cool to see. I'd love to be able to go type in and say, hey, I want to go see Luka Doncic and say, okay, here's all the five, you know, grading companies. Here's exactly what they have. A lot of the three of the five grading companies don't even publicize that information. So it's not like you can easily get it. But that would help you decide where to put money.
And honestly, as you see SGC starting to make more of a market penetration and gain some market share, again, PSA is going to be the king for a long, long, long time, like it or not. That's just the truth. But SGC is a strong number two now. You still got a lot of, BGS slabs out there. And so you just want to see that. I don't know. I think what's missing for you? Like you say, man, there's a piece of this that I would love to be able to do better. What would it be?
Yeah, mine would be more on the selling side since I sell a lot of inventory. I've dabbled in like Chrono Card because Nolan Elite Code 3 recommended it, where they're scanning cards and you're indexing it automatically. You get into the whole like you don't do cards over $5 when you scan a card through a feed scanner. You know, automating the selling process would be a lot. Would be something that would change my life considerably. So if there was a way to kind of like efficiently scan, index, put into an inventory for yourself and then get it onto your listing platform would be a game changer for me. And I think some of that stuff kind of exists in pieces. And I don't think there's enough demands for someone to develop it, you know, because there's not enough high volume sellers.
Right.
But that's a gap for me. But I think
if you had like a scanner that had a top loader feeder. Like, you wouldn't want to put raw cards through it, but you just have a stack of top loaders there and it just feeds them through the scanner. That'd be kind of cool.
Be really cool. Be really cool. Side note, StarStock came out with some updates this past week. I don't know if you saw them. Peter got on and put a video out on Instagram.
You mean SGC?
Oh, I'm sorry. SGC. What did I say?
StarStock.
Oh, okay. SGC came out with some really fun updates. I love that they have all kinds of levels now, from like the $30 level to the $100 level, and you can pick when you want it back, and it's very specific. Their $30 level now is like 24 days. I'm like, are you kidding me? And then I love the way they added more efficiencies around their images. So now when you get your form back and it says, hey, your grades are back, you can go look at them. Right next to the card, it shows front image, back image, and you can just see it right there. They're thinking about it the way a collector or a flipper would want to think about it, right? Make my life easier if I don't want to keep this card.
is that image, because you've done this and experienced this, is that image downloadable for you?
Yeah.
Or is it?
You can go to your downloadable images, your seller ready images, download a zip file, and your entire submission will be organized by name, front and back. It's genius. It's genius. The things that SGC is doing, mad props to them. Mad props to them. But PSA, anyway.
The PSA images are showing up.
Oh, are they?
They are. I bought some cards, I think at the last Dallas show, or can add a scan myself. Like, it doesn't populate instantly, but it'll populate, and then I'll put my image on there. And now I have two images. I'm like, dang it. You know, cause I scan every slab, just to put it on my registry. So I like having a scan of it. So they're doing that. I don't know if it's probably as cool as what SGC is doing, but I like how they're pushing each other. That's competition is good.
Exactly.
Like, it's a leads good thing. To being creative and being innovative. I like that. There's just not enough room to have 10 grading companies. It would be pointless.
Yeah. And back to our original question, right? Is consolidation good, shrinkage good in this market? I think it's good in the sense that it kind of gets rid of the fat. It cuts the fat out of the hobby, which we needed. Like, it ballooned up really quick, not just with artificial pricing, but platforms that didn't have a reason to exist. So yeah, cut the fat out. But it also it cuts the fat out, and it keeps the people in there that are pushing each other. Like you said, we're not saying we don't need platforms. I think there's some platforms that we need. There's going to be a pricing platform that becomes the standard. Is that Market Movers? Is that Card Ladder? Who knows how that's integrated into the PSA, you know, organization. But
I can see a negative to this too, though.
Okay.
Well, I'm thinking about just the card market and Fanatics, and as we just said, competition is good. If Fanatics ends up owning everything, and then kind of trying to be all things to all people, that doesn't lead to creative designs. It doesn't lead to cool new stuff. I think Topps had a period of time where they got pretty fat and happy, and they were pretty dang lazy. Like, let's just be honest with what they were doing. They were just spitting out the same old crap, and like, we know you'll take it, 'cause that's all there is. Like, it didn't, I remember the days, and think late 90s when Upper Deck was just crushing it with designs and inserts and cool stuff, and Fleer and Ultra, you know, Fleer Ultra and Skybox and all these, you know, you had a lot of people all trying to vie for that all valuable hobby dollar.
Yeah.
That was fun times, you know. Yep. Did it lead to overproduction and probably even, like you said, too much fat? Probably.
Yeah.
So it's like you have these periods of expansion and contraction. Oh, just like everything else.
Right.
And then that'll lead to some contraction. We're kind of heading that path now, which will then open it up to somebody else going, you know, I have a better idea for this, whatever that is.
Yeah. Down the road. Exactly. Yeah. I think the sports car marketplace is shrinking, not just with the number of buyers and maybe even sellers, but platforms are leaving and not surviving. It's the nature of the beast.
It is.
You know what's not shrinking though, Mike?
Our sub count.
That's going up. Cross 12,000. Good job.
By the way, thank you, everybody.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, everybody. Let me show you something here real quick. I'll pull this up on Sports Collectors Daily. Good site. Like to go there for some news. 2021 Prism Football offers a larger set. It's now 440 card base set. And wait for it. All of these wonderful parallels. They've added Orange Wave, Navy Camo, and Forest Camo into the parallel group.
So how many parallels are there now in Football Prism?
Well, like we can count real quick. 1, like 2, 46. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. I'm showing 15. Oh, 16, 17 with Silver and Snake Sin. So you're looking at 17 parallels in Prism on a 440 card base set. Yeah.
Well, you know, they add parallels so they can print more.
Yeah, don't know that. As expected.
Just do the math.
Yeah, I don't even want to do the math on this. This sounds scary, but I thought you'd get a kick out of those because I know how much you love Forest Camo. That's kind of your favorite color.
Dude, you weren't supposed to tell people that. That was a private conversation between you and me. And the pants I'm wearing right now are Forest Camo.
Yeah.
I would stand up, but I'm actually not wearing any pants. So
you wouldn't be able to see it. Forest Camo.
It's camouflaged. Yeah. It's camouflaging the forests down here.
Oh gosh, please. We're talking about shrinkage and forest in the same episode. And this is where you take it.
And this is a family episode. This is a family show.
Yep. Yeah. Well,
your kids.
Let's talk about what's coming out this week real quick. What do you got coming?
I'm doing a Golden Age of Cardboard episode probably tomorrow. I'm going to be talking about some different projects that I'm working, hopefully to inspire. Like, I think YouTube should be three things. It should either entertain you, inspire you, or educate you. The three E's, although inspire doesn't start with E. But, hey, I wasn't an English major. I was an economics major. So, but I'm kind of wanting to inspire some people. So I'm going to talk about some projects, some long-term projects that I've been doing, why I like them, where I'm at on them, and kind of encourage people to dabble maybe in the, and it's all vintage stuff, obviously, but it's fun. And you can take parts of it and kind of incorporate it maybe into how you love to collect and all that kind of good stuff. So that'll be a solo episode. I think I'm going to do it mano y mano.
Nice.
What about you? What do you got coming out?
I got a big data episode coming out this week.
Oh, that's exciting. Data.
No, but wait, you're going to like this. I broke down. I've been capturing monthly data and I'm not going to tell you exactly what I've captured, but all around the grading market. And I'm going to help people understand like the reality of what's happening with the five grading companies, the market share, the growth. It's pretty compelling. I actually can't wait to tell people about it. No,
what?
You don't care?
Are you talking there? No, I'm just, of course I want to watch it. That's cool.
Let's ask people right now, who's more interested in your episode or my episode?
Oh,
thumbs down if you're interested in Mike's.
Oh my gosh. Well, hey, that's why we have this channel. So we can do different things that appeal to different people within the hobby, right?
That's right. Yes.
And that's why you and I get along so good. We're yin and yang or yin and yang.
I'm glad you think we get along.
What? Come on. People can tell.
That's right.
People can tell we're buddies. What else?
That's it.
I'm opening a box of cards tomorrow on Baseball Collector Channel.
Oh, cool.
I know that's like, sounds like something crazy out of
the That's Twilight very, Zone. Very new. That's a very original idea.
But I don't do it. And so it's kind of funny to watch me do that. So that'll be out tomorrow on Baseball
Collector. Nice. Check out Baseball Collector. You're opening the good box too. I know what you're opening and it's going to be pretty fun. I can't wait to see.
Are you doing anything on Breaker Culture?
I've been putting together content on how I sell on eBay.
Okay.
I haven't released it yet, but it's going to start rolling out on Breaker Culture for those people that like to sell stuff. I'm showing people the ways that I sell.
Crazies. People that are crazy.
The crazies that like
to sell. Why would you sell a card? Why? Yeah. Why? Why?
Exactly.
I'm just kidding. Well, thanks, man. This was good.
Good.
On the fly.
With Mike and Ty. Have a good week.
See you guys. Yes!